Chapter 6. The night sounds were louder than I'd expected. Louder than the water rushing through the channel, and louder than the rhythmic beating of the three working pumps. The night was dominated by the hoots of owls, the symphony of chirping crickets, and the scurrying of mice and raccoons, and every so often, the deer added their human-like snorts to the blanket of sounds. I don't know how long it took me to fall asleep, but I do know that I awoke abruptly. Someone was out there. I don't know how I knew. It could have been the subtle change in the sea of night sounds, but I knew, and I was guessing it was a marauder. I reached over and grabbed the Bowie knife I'd brought with me, and suddenly wished I'd made the effort to acquire a gun. Guns were illegal remnants and expensive, and only fibs were allowed to own them. I slid out of my sleeping bag, crouched low in my tent, and tried to pick out more hints of the marauder. The cadence of scurrying mice and raccoons had changed, and so had the pitch of the owl's hoots. Then I heard silence take over the space behind my tent, and I pictured the marauder standing there, ready to attack. I crouched, motionless, and realized that my heart was pumping wildly. I had a couple of choices. I could race out of my tent, across the top of the channel, hopefully light-stepping it enough so I wouldn't fall through the metal mesh, and disappear into the woods on the other side. Or I could charge the marauder with my Bowie knife. But if he were armed, he'd shoot me. Of course, he could do that even if I hightailed it across the channel. So I stayed stock still and tried to come up with another plan. The silence behind my tent started to fill back up with night sounds. The marauder must have been circling around to the front, but I couldn't hear his footsteps. I made a decision right then. I scooped up the keys to my van, stuffed them in my pocket, unzipped the tent flap as fast as I could, and sprang out of the tent. I raced back around into the woods, gaining speed with every step, running as fast as I could toward the road. I didn't look back for the marauder. I ran, stumbled, and regained my balance, and repeated that over and over again, lurching forward in the dark, adrenaline and fear propelling me. I avoided tree trunks as best I could and ignored the scrapes and cuts accumulating on my bare feet and arms. I lost my Bowie knife somewhere along the way. I finally saw the road up ahead and scanned the shoulder for my van. Only then did I consider that another marauder might be stationed out here. I buried that thought and exploded out of the woods, pulling the keys from my pocket. I spotted my van, and it was clear of marauders. I ran to it, unlocked the door, jumped in, jammed the keys into the ignition, and as the engine roared to life, one word crossed my mind: coward. I was a coward, running from the marauders who murdered my father and destroyed my life. I turned on the headlights, put the van in gear, and was just about to hit the gas when I saw him. He was standing in front of the van, and if I pressed the gas, I'd barrel right into him, killing him. I hesitated. The man wasn't holding a weapon, and his arms were down by his sides. His eyes were fixed on me, but I knew that he couldn't really see me in the glare of the headlights. So I took a second to look him over. He was a big man, tall and unyielding, and he looked old but rugged, like old age had made him stronger, not weaker. The skin on his face was weathered like dark armor, proud and invincible. But why was he standing in front of my van in the dead of night with no weapon? I didn't put my foot on the gas. He approached the van. I didn't move. Was it possible that he wasn't a marauder? I watched him walk up to my door. He stopped a couple of yards away and didn't make another move. I waited a few seconds, then stepped outside. He glanced at my hands and saw that I wasn't holding a weapon. "You're right about the water," he said. His voice was calm and as still as the night. My mind reeled.